Hello, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode 565 of the Drunk Sister Podcast. I'm, as always, I'm Tyler, and joining me, we have the man, the myth, the legend himself, Sir Colonel Gables. What is up, buddy?
Oh, dude, I'm feeling good. After the end of this work week and stuff, and a lot of the rigmarole from there and stuff, I'm just happy that it's the weekend. Of course, back, before we started recording for tonight's episode and stuff, I had to literally chase down my dog and give him a bath because he was just continuously barking and looking at me and while itching and stuff. And I'm like, well, time for your third flea dip of the week. So, yeah, it's always nice when the dog or like an animal just tells you, hey, could you help me, please?
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, it just turns into them just evading you. And then all of a sudden, they hide under the table. And then the con just, hey, come to me. Come to me. And all of a sudden, just a pinch off of a freaking piece of food and stuff is what they want.
Yeah, yeah. I used to do that with Louis when when my ex first moved out. He's like never really been home alone. So I'd have to leave I'd go take him over to my parents' house when I first started my job I have now. And he would hide under the bed. Because he didn't want to go over there. But I'm like, well, it's either you go over there or you're home alone by yourself all day. So I had to, like, literally get, like, little chunks of pepperonis and, like, literally do, like, breadcrumbs. And then, like, hide behind something. Because he'd hide under my bed. And then hide behind something. And then, like, he'd come out of the bedroom and I'd close the door. And then, yeah, he'd be trapped. So, yeah.
Oh, have you ever had the moment with your dog or something like that where it's, like, he'll know exactly what time of the day it is or something like that. And he won't just do anything for anything.
Yeah, well, he's like that in the morning when he hears my alarm go off. Like, he doesn't get up. Like, if I get up on the weekends, he doesn't hear the alarm. He'll follow me around. But, like, on the weekday, he can tell when I have to get up for work, and he'll just lay in bed under the covers until basically I go and get him up. So, yeah, he's a weird dude.
Yeah, they're so used to routines.
Yes.
But anyway, how have you been doing, Tyler?
I'm doing all right, Gables. You know, it was a nice little week. It wasn't like crazy busy and stuff. I took my day off, I guess, for the first time in a couple months. So that was nice. Got to play a bunch of Final Fantasy 16. Not gonna really talk about the end of the show because that's all I've been playing. I'm like 45-ish hours in now at this point. I don't know how close I am to the ending. I've been doing all the side quests and stuff like that and all the hunts they can do. So I don't know how many of those there are, but I feel like I'm hoping this time next week I should have the game beat because I have quite a few games in my backlog now. It's I got AEW still I want to get back to. Oxenfree 2 just came out this week that I've been waiting for this game to come out for 7 years now when it's out and I haven't even got to it. Exoprimal came out yesterday. I played the tutorial. That's as far as I've gotten. But I did go a little crazy, Gables. You might have seen that, like, Prime Day and what's going on and everything like that. So, Target, Best Buy, all these other websites are doing sales as well. So I've been pretty good lately about not, like, going out and, like, I don't splurge like I used to. I'm trying to be smarter. You know, obviously we're all feeling the effects of the price gouging going on. Tighten the belt a little bit on things. So I try to be smart about my, purchases and trying to, plan things out. And I make quick, bold decisions on things. But there was a deal I just could not pass up. You know, Nintendo games never go on sale. Or if they do, they're like $50, maybe $45 around Christmas. Well, Gables, I started to pick up these two bad boys right here. Mario Odyssey and Super Mario 3D World. I had these games before, but I had to sell Mario Odyssey for I didn't have money one week for a bill. And this one I sold, but it came out like right around. I was waiting for forever. I played for a couple hours, but it came out like right around the same time as another game. I think I just never got around to it. And I traded it in, and I was like, I rarely regret trading games in. If it's a game I know I'm gonna like play multiple times, I usually just buy it digitally. I traded in. I just like, man, I just wish I wish I would just bought it. Or I wish I just kept it. Well, anyways, they had them for $30 a piece.
Damn, so, that's a good choice.
Yeah, that was, I think Warrior 64 says the cheapest he's ever seen them. So I picked those up. Also, they had a Game Pass 3 months for $35. I found that. So I bought it in 3 months. And so I'm good to like February on that. And then on, what was that? Newegg, I think, I want to say. You could buy a $100 Nintendo eShop gift card for $85. So I just went ahead and bought that. I'm like, okay. So I got for, $100 gift card for $85, and then I bought the voucher for $100, and I got Super Mario Wonder and Mario RPG pre-ordered. So
Oh,
I
cool.
got,
Yeah, you've yourself all set.
yeah. So yeah, I mean, basically save like, with tax and everything, it's not like $40 saved right there by doing that. So, gonna hurt a little bit right now spending that money, but I'm saving money in the long. It's like I said, that's these chunk of change I save there in the long run. So, yeah, that's pretty cool though overall. So I got a bu I spent a bunch of money on Nintendo stuff this week, but like I'm super excited to play these games again. Like I'm dying to play Mario Odyssey, like replay it again for like a couple of years now. I've been wanting to replay it, and finally seeing that deal, I'm like, oh, I can't pass it up. So God knows when I'll get around to it though. But yeah, doing all right, clinging and banging as always. But hey, if you guys are liking this, you want more of this, please like, follow, subscribe. We are everywhere. Podcasts are on. We're on Facebook, Twitter. Not on Threads yet. I should probably get on doing making the Threads, I guess. Just get ahead of it. But we're on pretty much everything else. Wherever podcasts are on, we're on it. Just search Drunk Dash Nerds Podcast on YouTube, stuff like that. So if you're listening or watching us later or somewhere else, look down in the description down below. You see links to a lot of our socials and everything like that. Or just go on wherever, pretty much any social app or anything, and just search for Drunk Dash Nerds and you'll find us. But Gables,
Yeah.
let's get into it. Let's talk about it, Gables. It's a thing that we've avoided talking about mostly for the last about 18 months now.
Yeah, pretty
It's
much.
finally over, Gables. We think,
Absolutely.
maybe, hopefully, it could be, maybe possibly over. Seems like we're pretty close to at least having a resolution on this whole process. Xbox and, well, Microsoft and Activision Blizzard, the purchase could finally, maybe, possibly, eventually go through. So a lot's been going on, obviously. We've been like pretty much avoid talking about this thing because it's just been, quite frankly, I've been very annoyed by it. Like, it's been like so hard. Like every time I go like listen to like a video game podcast, it's like, oh, fuck it. Like, do we have to do more? Like, I get why, it's in the algorithm. There's been so many like funny headlines have come out, like our funny quotes. But it's like when you break it all down, it's all like, oh, it's just lawyers talking or just blah blah blah, or like we're just, yeah, I don't know. It's been very annoying for me for the last, like, really the last, like, I'd say the last year at least. Like, I'm just so tired of hearing about it. I just wanted to like get to it when like serious stuff happened. And some serious stuff finally, it's really finally happened here. So the FTC, we got the results back from Judge Corley. She said she denied the motion with the FTC and the preliminary injunction. And she said it was due to many factors, one of the main reasons being Call of Duty. This is her quote here. Microsoft's acquisition of Activision has been described as the largest in tech history, which it is. It deserves scrutiny. That scrutiny has paid off. Microsoft has committed in writing in public and in court to keep Call of Duty on PlayStation for 10 years. On parity with Xbox, it made an agreement with Nintendo to bring Call of Duty to Switch and entered several agreements to, for the first time, bringing Activision's content to several cloud gaming services. So we've talked about that, kind of off and on over the last year or so. Really, probably the last like 6 months, where they signed all the agreements. There's all these like cloud services that we've never heard of that they're like signing these 10-year deals with, stuff like that. So they were denied, or that was denied, I think on Monday, and then Wednesday, I believe it was, they appealed it. FTC did, and then it was denied last night. The appeal, which really, so it I think the appeal from, we're not lawyers here at all, but I've spent a lot of time, like I when I do listen and pay attention, I try to listen to people that are like, or like know the under like understand the law parts of this a little
Right.
bit, so they can explain to me. And it's not just like, oh, this person. Oh, you hear this funny, this stupid thing Jim Ryan said? Like, I'm over that shit. So I feel like I've learned a decent. I'm not trying to say I know everything here, but I feel like I've learned a decent amount about how the FTC works and some of the stuff here. Like I said, I'm not a lawyer, but from what I understand, there's still a court case that's gonna happen on August 2nd. The only thing is like, but once they just can't stop the deal from happening
Yep.
now. So the deal can go through. There is a deadline on July 18th that if it doesn't go through, then Microsoft owes Activision $3 billion. And but they can move it, they can work around it, they can just renegotiate the deal and get around it. Like, from my understanding, this we've hit that deadline multiple times before where they owe them additional $3 billion. They just punt it because of obviously everything going on, and they keep moving the deadline so they can keep. I imagine they can just do that again, or just like, yeah, don't worry about it. Just, let's get this fucking deal over, done over with. But also still there's stuff going on with the CMAs. CMAs is a different thing. That's the Country Music Award. So they can still, that's the part I don't understand. They still have a court on August 2nd, but the deal can go through, by I think Tuesday would be July 18th. Yeah. But I don't, the part I don't understand is like what happens with, like, okay, cool. The deal goes through. Then like they go to court, say they reverse the decision. The deal's already gone through. I don't understand it. Like, Activision's already in the process of pulling themselves off the stock market. So like, I don't know. That's part I don't fully understand. I've tried to figure out what I can about that. I don't have a clue really, honestly. But it was kind of this initial process just with the FTC and everything that happened this week with this stuff. Kind of what was your thoughts and how you feeling about this now?
Well, let's see. When it comes to the overall thought about this eventual, these events that happened during this week, one thing circulated through my mind is like, well, Microsoft and Activision, after the judge ruled in favor of them and stuff over like what the FTC was going through and doing, which essentially was trying to delay them past the July 18th deadline that they initially had. That was the initial extent. I kind of feel like that now that this appeal by the FTC has been denied, we probably are going to be seeing the deal be finalized between Microsoft and Activision come like maybe as soon as Monday, maybe earliest and stuff. From the initial things that I have been hearing, I've been reading up on, they want to get this stuff done immediately.
Yeah, they've had plenty of time to get this shit in order, so.
Well, absolutely. I mean, this is colossal. The way they're going, like Microsoft and Activision, the way this deal is going through after these initial court case-like events has been going on is that they've been super quick. I'm talking about at least a few hours after certain events have already completed and stuff. They are trying, by both sides are trying their damnedest just to get this deal circulated through, where we've had other, like, deals and stuff in the past by other companies and other entertainment fields that have taken such a long time trying to complete their merger, whereas it seems like Microsoft and Activision have been forced to try to solidify this deal rather quickly because of not just the FTC, but also the CMA stuff that's coming in on, like, August, I want to say, in Europe, regards to that stuff.
UK?
Yeah, the UK.
We are dumb Americans. EU, UK, I don't understand the difference.
All right, the UK. But in that lines, they're trying to do that court case and stuff in order to, like, just the whole thing about cloud gaming and stuff, because I know that cloud gaming, the monopoly of how it's going to be distributed and stuff through there is being a big cause of, like, concern for some, and that's why that CMA and the court case and stuff like that's going on and stuff between them and, like, Microsoft and Activision Blizzard and stuff. But my overall thoughts and feels is I'm glad this thing is coming to a head, and quintessentially, it's over. It's over. This deal is going to be going through.
Yeah.
I feel we're probably going to be seeing maybe results of this coming in terms of, like, various games maybe being dropped in the Game Pass system thing, possibly fairly soon after everything else is completed and stuff. Not sure when, but...
So I kind of looked into it a little bit. So when the kind of like it's, I mean, maybe you can't compare it 100%, but when the Bethesda deal went through, when it finalized, 2 days later they put a bunch of like older Bethesda games on Game Pass. Like I'm talking like the original like Doom games, Doom 64. Like Dishonored, Wolfenstein, like Wolfenstein 1 was on there, like was not even like Wolfenstein 2. And then it was a few months later, the rest of the stuff did. I don't know if there's like a, maybe there was like a, I think some of the games, like they had deals with PlayStation to be on their service. So maybe that's why some of those games got delayed. But there's a lot, I was kind of looking at like a lot of Activision Blizzard games, that have come to console, and I was kind of looking like 360 on. I mean, if you take out Call of Duty, it's mostly like licensed games that they don't have license to make to put on there anymore.
Well, right. You're looking at the things from like the 360 on up,
Yeah,
correct?
like there's a lot of
So.
like Spider-Man games, I mean shit like that. Like let's see if I can. I really could not find a lot of games that's like not like I said. I don't know. I don't. What the? Why is it? Okay, I'm
Well,
trying to
yeah,
find
I
it. Go
know
ahead.
that Activision did do like a bunch of like licensed games and stuff like that, but trying to think of like other like kind of noteworthy games Activision did other than like say the Atari and like all these other the other previous like generation
Yeah,
stuff
well,
with 360.
but we're just kind of looking at. I was just trying to look at like, like stuff that's been on like 360 that's easy that can easily be put on like Game Pass, like, yeah, like okay, what?
Singularity.
A single that's good.
Or was that
That's
something?
Raven Software. I don't know if, but I don't know if they own
Raven
Raven
Software.
at that point. But like, I
Oh my
mean, there's
God.
obviously a bunch of like they can do all like the Tony Hawk games that have come out recently. That's pretty much Call of Duties, Tony Hawk's. I mean, there's like a, there's a bunch of Shrek games in here. Penguin, the TV sh the movie Penguin Madagascar. Gun could potentially come.
Well, guns, one of those things. I mean, how about okay, what is like what developer's binary domain?
Binary Domain, that's Sega.
Okay, that's
Yeah.
Sega. How about Brink?
Brink is Bethesda. But the servers are
Okay,
shut off, so I don't think that's gonna happen. Like,
good. I just want to
Guitar
clarify
Hero,
those ones.
fucking dude, it's like it's literally like there's
Okay.
like 45 like Shrek games, Marvel games, MTV Pimp My Ride. I mean, it's a ton of like Harley Davidson games, Barbie games. I mean, Jesus Christ, dude, like there's like a million. They did the Transformer games on, oh, Jesus Christ.
Yes, they did. Like War for
No, I'm
Cybertron
talking
and
about like the
like
movie
that.
games.
Oh.
Oh my God, I did not realize there was this
Yeah.
many games.
So we're talking about those, but also you have to think about at least the past couple of years, not just with the Call of Duty stuff, but also you got Diablo 2, that remaster of Diablo 2 that could be on the Game
Yeah, Diablo
Pass.
3, maybe 4 would be a big one. I don't know if they how quickly they put it on
4
there
would be
though.
huge, actually.
Yeah, I don't know how quickly they put that on there though. I mean, dude, it's yeah, I mean, it's a lot.
There's a lot of games.
Like, well, I mean, just looking at like the 2000s, 2010s, it's just a Blur. Fuck yeah, bring Blur back.
Oh yeah, Blur's
Split
there.
Singularity is, yeah, that was published by Bethesda or by Activision. So
Yeah,
they,
Singularity.
okay, so but Singularity is an awesome game. I hope that'd be cool if that comes on there. That's one of those like 360 though backwards compatible things. I don't know. That's the problem though. Like some of the, even like some of these games we look at here, like they might not actually come. I'm just starting to, man, you get into like the last generation though, it's literally just like Skylanders. Yeah, I mean it's not it's yeah, it's literally just like a bunch of licensed games and then like maybe Crash. So yeah.
Oh, that's just the thing, though. I mean, they're, but yeah, despite like a bunch of like licensed games, Call of Duty, Tony Hawk, Guitar Hero, and like what other types of popular stuff they've done over the past 30 years, there are still some decent stuff that's going to be welcome when it eventually comes on to Game Pass. I mean, hell, I mean, I'm still just sort of looking at the various like
Is
lists and stuff
Spyro?
like that.
That that's Activision,
Spyro at
right?
one time was.
Yeah, so that, I mean, they
Well,
did
yeah,
the remaster.
Spyro
They
was
did the
Activision.
trilogy remaster.
So that could be on the Game
Yeah, but
Pass
I mean,
as
this is
well
what
as
we're looking
Crash
at,
Bandicoot.
though. Honestly, is like we're looking at like Tony Hawk remake, Crash remake, Crash 4, Spyro remaster, of like, and then maybe Call of Duty games.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well,
Maybe
yeah.
we shouldn't be so excited about this process to begin. I don't know. Like, once you start looking at the list of games that they can actually put on this thing, I'm like, oh, I don't know, man. Maybe it's not that exciting.
Well, it may not be the exciting from the outset because we're not really familiarized with the entire library of what Activision
Well,
Blizzard is
I mean,
going
I just
through.
scroll through the Wikipedia page. It's a million like, just like, family like game like, an animated movie spin-off games.
Well, there definitely are some good stuff that's like that's been published, by Activision in the past, you know, kind of like the Zork series. I mean, Quake series. I mean, that's
Problem is a lot of those games are
stuff.
like I don't, but I mean, have they been made for consoles though? Like, that's what I
No,
mean. I'm
for some of
talking
that
because that's the
stuff.
problem though. We gotta look at like honestly, realistically, like a lot of those 360 games on there, like they made them backwards compatible. You know, like we can't rely on those getting like, so we really just gotta look at like last generation and this generation, and it's not much.
Well, there is one series I'm thinking about here. That's Marvel Ultimate
But they
Alliance.
don't own the license to that. That's what I mean. Like, that's the
That's
problem.
true.
They have a million games they put out, but they don't own the license to 90% of them.
Yeah, if you, unless you're gonna have some like say like Prototype, Blur, Singularity, like freaking,
And those are 360
oh
games that might
God,
not come.
Sekiro.
Sekiro, that, yeah, I don't know how that one works because of how much say does FromSoft have in that. So I don't know. It's like, it's funny once you start looking through this list here, it's like, huh. Like even Destiny, like they don't own the rights to Destiny anymore, so
Well, no, they
it's free to
don't.
play anyways. It doesn't
But
matter.
yeah, it's I know what it looks like from the outside looking in right here. It's like there's doesn't seem like there's gonna be a lot or something like that, but it doesn't mean that it's just gonna be like just what's gonna be coming onto the Game Pass sort
No, but
of
I'm just like looking at
stuff.
like a week from now, like what's the big stuff that can come? And it's like, oh, not a lot.
Tony Hawk.
Yeah, Tony, like looking at Tony Hawk remake, Crash remake, Spyro remaster. That's
I actually think it would be kind of hilarious if they were able to like say put out Tony Hawk like 2X like that original Xbox game onto
Oh
the
yeah.
freaking Game
Yeah.
Pass. That would be pretty interesting
That'd be cool if
seeing
they
if
did that, yeah.
do that.
Well that could be an issue with licensing because all the care like the real life people in it though.
And there we go again, licensing tunes the musical tracks to whatever and stuff. That's part of the reason why like other game companies and stuff that had like music back then or something had to re-edit a bunch of the different soundtracks of that Crazy Taxi. Sega.
So I don't know, I mean, but anyways, getting back to all this though, I don't know. I mean, the way we look at it is like it's gonna happen. I will say like I've seen a lot of people FTC is getting mocked a lot, and in some cases, very much deservedly so. They didn't have a great case, but I don't think there was like much of a case to begin with here. Like they probably could have argued a better case than is Switch Gen 8 or 9, or just other like you know it just it. They were not, this didn't seem very focused on the things they should argue about.
No, this more or less kind of felt like an entire sort of like this. It actually just felt like a gigantic stall tactic
That's,
by
yeah.
both.
And that's all they, I mean, like, I've talked about it kind of off and on during, like, when we have talked about this on the podcast, where, you know, like, that's all they have. Like, there's so much past legislation against them. The FTC, we've let the government's let so many of these big mergers happen with little to no pushback that it's just hard to like you can't overcome a lot of things that have happened in the past where like why did we let this go through and not that? And we've seen over the last like 20 years or so like a lot of these big companies and like there's been a lot of regret from FTC and like the government for like allowing like there's like the I brought it up before, but I can't remember. I think it's like US Cellular and Sprint or something. One of the Sprint merged with one of the other three cell phone companies, and we went from four big cell phone companies to three. And it's like ever since then, I mean, our cell phone prices have gone up and up and up. It's gotten out of control, and like they publicly regret like kind of letting that go through. We've seen like these big mergers happen, like with Warner Brothers and or like AOL and shit. Like we've seen all these like major corporations merge together, and it's like FTC is like what it is like we want them to do well, we want them to do this. This is exactly what we want. You take the fanboy out of it, you take like it's the all the stupid clickbait headlines out of it, you take all the other bullshit out of it. Like, gaming aside, what they're doing is good for us for fighting these, like, are like making it. I think really what they're trying to do here is like, yeah, it's a stall tactic, we're gonna annoy the fuck out of you. And just hope like we're gonna try to basically like maybe like prevent other companies like, well, we're not even gonna bother. We're not even gonna try. Like that sounds like hell to go through all this fight and struggle. We've seen all the like or like you know like even if, like two corporations try to merge or one tries to buy another or whatever, like put them through hell and then maybe someone's like, no, fuck it, I'm out, and they back out. And that's really all they can do at this point because they don't have the resources, and they don't have the time frame, like, this is a pretty quick turnaround for this process. We've seen, like, the court system is very, very slow in the United States. People will sit in, you know, if someone's accused of a crime, they could sit in jail for years waiting to go to trial. Like, it's a very slow process here. And people have been talking about, like, oh, they got to hurry and get this done for this deadline. The U.S. government and FTC and nobody should give a fuck about this deadline. We shouldn't give a fuck about this deadline. The government put this deadline in place. Activision and Microsoft put that deadline in place. So it's on them to, like, work around it or renegotiate it or whatever. Like, they didn't have to put that deadline in that date when they did. They could have done it another time. They could have pushed it out longer. So, I mean, the way you look at it is, like, say, I don't know, DirecTV and Comcast decide to merge. This is a big hypothetical here. And they set a deadline. Well, tomorrow, that's not going to, like, okay, that's on them. The government's, it's not the government's job to, like, hurry and get the shit done for them. Like, they should have as much time as they need to try this case. So, and this isn't me defending the FTC as, like, Republican, Democrat thing. This is just an argument as far as, like, this is what we want. We don't want big businesses combining together. And this is me not getting fully on the soapbox of my issues I have with big corporations and the American government now. I'm avoiding that whole argument, but because I can spend 45 minutes on that if you guys let me. So I'm not going to do it. But I don't know. I mean, it's going to go through. Some other stuff here to talk about, though, is some things we do know about is, so I don't know the rest of the details here, but, like, Call of Duty games can't come to Game Pass on day one until 2025. Because PlayStation has the marketing deal through next year with Call of Duty already in place. I don't know what that means, though, for, like, past games. Like, that's kind of, like, the gray area we don't know about right now is, like, how long is that deal? Like, so Modern Warfare 2 came out last year. I was like, how long is it for that come to Game Pass? Is it all the games that's been under, like, this marketing deal, which is since, like, 2014? You know, can't come. I don't know. So that's a big chunk of games that, you know, we're talking like close to 20 Call of Duty games, potentially just sitting there waiting to come to Game Pass. So no idea how that's going to work out. And you kind of mentioned the deal with the CMA. So they've talked about how Microsoft is willing to work with the CMA to kind of change some, like, with the cloud-based gaming, give some headway, stuff like that. Work with other companies so it doesn't feel so dominant. But the CMA also said that, like, if this happens, then they would, like, if any restructure to the deal would happen, then it would require them to start a new investigation on this whole matter. So, that can start a whole other thing. But we know for a fact that, like, basically with CMA, like, even if they decline the deal, Microsoft and Activision can't work around them. They can put the deal through anyways. And basically they can start, like I said, I don't fully understand it. Definitely don't understand UK law anyway, but they can, like, move the headquarters out of the UK and then basically just start, like, a different publishing arm that would, like, work around the laws that the UK has. And basically, like, Activision Blizzard games couldn't come to Game Pass day one in the UK. If they were to decline it. But, that's kind of what we're looking at right now, Gables. I don't know. I'm just so happy we're getting what feels like to the end here.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't know. Anything else you want to add on that one, Gables?
Honestly, no. What's already played out is already played out and stuff. And quite honestly, there really isn't any more to add to it. That whole thing is over, and now we can actually finally move on.
Yeah. I just got to say, Gables, I bought this beer. I was getting beer at the store, and there was a lady doing free samples, and I always avoid eye contact with them because then they want to ask you. And it's even if the beer looks good, I'm just like, I don't really want to fucking get into, like, the awkward thing. And I saw her. We made eye contact. She's like, you want to try this beer, sir? I'm like, sure. She's like, well, it's a hard cider. I'm like, oh, fuck, I hate cider. Okay, all right. I'm already like, whatever. I'm definitely not going to like this. Started asking me about wines, and I'm like, I don't like wine at all. And she's like, do you like dry or sweet? I'm like, sweet, I guess. Dry sounds terrible. What the fuck is dry wine? Sounds awful. So anyways, then she's like, do you like ginger? I'm like, well, I kind of have to. She got a laugh out of that one. And she gave me this beer. I'm not going to name the brewery because I want to be mean. But it's a ginger peach hard cider, semi-sweet. And I tried it. It's not bad. It didn't taste bad. Like, she gave me a little, like, little shot of it. It didn't taste bad at all. But it's like, oh, well, if you like that. I'm like, oh, that's really good. I was like, it's fine. But I want to be, you know, obviously I don't want to be an asshole. And she's like, okay, well, if you want to buy some, there's some right here. I'm like, God fucking damn it. So she like watched me grab a 4-pack. $15 for a 4-pack, Gables. $15. So I bought a 4-pack. And it's not good. I just don't like it. I'm like halfway through this. And I'm just trying to force them down at this point. I just cracked. I got one. I'm on number one here. I don't know how I'm going to do this. It's going to take me like...
Time to add the Clamato.
What? I didn't hear what he said. What's happening?
It's time to add the Clamato.
Oh, fuck no. Clamato is disgusting. I hate tomatoes. Oh. I just did every drink. It's like... It just makes my mouth pucker. Like I'm sucking on a lemon. I feel like Renee Zellweger all the time when I'm drinking this. Oh, it's not great. Gables, you put this in here. I did not watch it. I seen the main thing. But you put limited run games. They had a showcase. I seen some like clips of it here and there. I did see the main game. What was it? Arzaka? Is that the game?
Well, that's one of the games.
That's the one that looks like a Zelda 3DL game, right? Or CDI game?
Yeah, it kind of looks like a Zelda 3DI game. Yeah, CDI game.
Yeah. So, I don't give like. So, did you watch this whole thing?
I didn't watch whole thing. I honestly had a chance just to look at some of the clips of what the games that came out. But so, from what I got from the initial game stuff from the showcase and stuff, I know that Live and Run Games is working closely with like this one studio and stuff like that that's helping with like the porting process of some of these classic games. I know they're headed by like a YouTuber by the name of MVG, who is very much into like the whole realms of like just porting different games, porting classic games. Like for example, a lot of stuff though that his company has been working on and stuff like porting some of these Jurassic Park games from like the Super Nintendo. Like there was a collection of Jurassic Park games that are like from like the Super Nintendo that are coming out onto like modern platforms. Like not just that though, but like oh my gosh, the whole thing about the Gex trilogy.
Yes, that's right. I did see that. I didn't know that was from this. I seen everybody freaking out. Gables, I don't get it. I played Gex back in the day. I rented the PlayStation version and then I found out there's an exclusive level on 64 with the Titanic. I ran out of that version too. I just think Gex just wasn't a very good game, Gables. I'm just gonna say it.
Well, that's just the thing. Gex began its life as a 3DO game. It was on the 3DO, the original game and stuff. It was probably one of the better 3DO games to come out on that console, besides like a port of Street Fighter 2. But other than that, though, a lot of people have nostalgia for, like, the Gex games and stuff like that, which were just spoofs, like, off of, like, certain pop culture things for the time period and stuff. And just basic sort of, like, platformer mixed with a whole bunch of, like, ribs of stuff and things back in the day. So I can understand why people have nostalgia for that from back in the 90s and wanting to, like, replay, relive that. I mean, hell, from the times I've ever seen Gex has been through advertisements and gaming magazines.
Yeah, they did have some. I'll give them props. Some of the ads and the Nintendo Powers back in the day were pretty great. So.
Oh yeah, like the freaking have Gex or something like some sort of like a sexy spy or something like that.
Yeah,
we do the 007
stuff. Yeah, it is gonna be weird though coming out, and it's like it's gonna have a lot of spoofs of shit from the 90s. So it's like, if you're like a kid playing that game, like you're not gonna like this whatsoever. Maybe some adults will get some of the jokes, but it'd be like them like making like Austin Powers 4, but basing the jokes off of shit from, you know, the 2000s and like late 90s. So,
but yeah, other than like the Jurassic Park collection and like the Gex collection and stuff like that, the original Tomba is actually getting a port onto like modern systems. So like on PS4, PS5, on Switch, on Xbox Series systems and stuff like that. This game is sort of like a cult classic from back in the PS1 days because it's one of those kind of like 2D slash 3D sort of like platformers. I've actually played maybe a little bit of like the original. I've seen a bunch of the random gameplay of it. It can be pretty fun, but at the same time, it is like a side-scrolling platformer that has like 2.5D elements to it. But I remember seeing advertisements for that back in gaming magazines on top of its sequel, Tomba 2, which obviously, seeing as how like the original game is now being ported onto modern systems, I probably would guess that the second one would probably be following closely behind. But other than that, though, there was a couple more games. One is the original Clock Tower. Now, for those that don't know the series of Clock Tower, which that's probably a lot of people, including myself, before learning about this initial announcement, Clock Tower back in the mid-90s was a survival horror game. This predates Resident Evil. This predates like some of the other major horror kind of
era,
like Alone in the Dark stuff. This was a Super Famicom game in 1995, and the whole aspect of it was sort of like a point-and-click adventure, but the music, the whole aspect of the atmosphere in this game and stuff like that was way ahead of its time for, you know, and it was largely popular, like, overseas in Japan. But its sequels, like Clock Tower 2, Clock Tower 3, they made their way stateside, but they didn't receive as much fanfare as they could have been. But the whole thing about this is, like, people have wanted to play the original Clock Tower for years. And it's one of those cult classic games that never released here stateside that now is getting an official release this year. So I'm personally kind of looking forward to that because it's like survival horror games are like kind of hit and miss with me because it's either going to hook me in kind of like with Outlast or something like that, or it's just not going to keep me long, like keep me like going like for the whole entire thing. Like say with, well, I believe it or not, like the original Resident Evil and stuff, because that's just the thing though. I've made the mistake of playing Resident Evil, the original one, like years after the game release and stuff, and the controls don't hold up. Obviously the graphics are what they are. It's a product of its time.
Very much so.
I do like a lot of the fun, like campiness of the original Resident Evil, but the fact remains is in order to have a good survival horror game, you have to be hooked on the loop of it. You have to be hooked on the initial story of it. And Clock Tower seems like it's going to be a fun thing to go forth and experience. But the biggest thing that came out of this whole limited run showcase was with the unveiling of a canceled Game Boy Advance game that is finally being revived by WayForward because of, well, their whole initial agreements of limited run games here. And that's Shantae Advance. Yeah. Now, this game had clips of like various like gameplay loops or something like that, like over the past 15 years. Leak online and stuff like that. I know for a fact that having looked through some of the analogs of like YouTube and stuff, there are videos as old as like 16 years old that are showing bits of gameplay footage and stuff like from the mid to late 2000s. This game initially was going to release around 2003 for the Game Boy Advance, which during that initial time, I mean, that was that 2003, 2004 sort of period and stuff for the Game Boy Advance was like really one of the more stronger release periods for that system because you had all these great, fantastic, classic games that released during that time period. But the reason why it didn't get off the ground for this initial port is one, they had troubles with publishing because the initial failures of the sales of the original Shantae, despite it being one of, if not the best Game Boy Color game on that freaking system, it did not sell well. It was a late Game Boy Color game. At that point, people were more interested in moving on to the Game Boy Advance or the announcement of the Game Boy Advance and stuff. But the funny thing about this is, like, they introduced, like, WayForward presents this game, right? And it's going to be on a Game Boy Advance cartridge. You know, it's going to have its full, like a Game Boy Advance release in modern day 2023. When I heard about that, I mean, I was kind of blown away by it because it's like we're getting to the point in these type of like revivals of like canceled games to where not only are developers going through the extra mile of like putting them on the original carts that they were meant to be, like for systems from like back then, but they're doing like even more so of it because it's like it's the look, it's the presentation, it's like the initial release on the cart, like a Game Boy Advance cart itself. It's just going the extra mile, and WayForward as a studio has always done the extra mile to try to present their games in probably some of the most best like light in terms of that stuff. But yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing not just the Game Boy Advance release of it, because I'm fairly interested in actually purchasing that, because that would be something to fucking say that I've done. It's like, oh hey, I've actually bought my last major Game Boy Advance game 20-something years later.
Yeah, 21 years later, yeah.
I know, man. It's like with the announcement of this, and then a couple of years ago, you know, the announcement of Metroid Dread, another canceled game that just came back to life and stuff. It's like, it's one of those moments where I look back as a young teenager, looking at some of these games that have come that either came out or something, or I've read the accolades on for the gaming magazines like an EGM or a GamePro or a Tips and Tricks, or even watching the shows like say GameSpot TV or X-Play or something, and seeing these accolades for these classic games that were announced but never came out, and then all of a sudden it's like this modern day for the 2020s and stuff like that. Oh, not only do we have Metroid Dread, which is arguably one of the best Switch games that has come out, but now we have a revival of a Shantae game that never saw the light of day for production coming out on its original intended console that's been long since out of print.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm hoping for digital stuff too that come out the major systems.
Yeah, I mean, some of the other cool stuff that was in there was the Plumbers Don't Wear Ties. That's coming platforms in September, which people know. Like, just look up Angry Video Game Nerds, Plumbers Don't Wear Tie.
Yeah.
Ties. It is like borderline porn game, like a live action
porn game,
basically.
To be perfectly honest with you, it is a horrible softcore porn.
There's like no nudity. So, I mean, like, for like, you know, 12, 13 year old me in like 2002, I'm like, fuck yeah, I'll take it. But like nowadays, I don't know. But even then, what the fuck's the point of this thing?
That's the only reason why I remember Plumbers Don't Wear Ties is that ABGN episode. Yeah. And it was one of the most fucking hilarious episodes ever because of how redundant and how terrible that game is.
So Gables will be playing that on stream here soon. And then another game, Arzet, I believe is how you pronounce it. That is the game that, like, basically it's just someone is making a Zelda CDI game for modern day platforms. And it looks awesome. Like, but it looks like they made like the Arzet, the Jewel of Faramore. People know, if you want to Google it, people are Arzette. But it basically, it looks like a pretty decent 2D side scroller action game, but they like have used the Zelda CDI graphics, and even the cutscenes are like perfect renditions. Have you seen the trailer yet, Gables?
I have never seen the trailer, but let me tell you, I can take your word for it that it's probably going to be like some grade A.
Okay. I thought maybe this is why you want to talk about it. It was because of the trailer. So remind me after the show, Gables. I will show you that trailer.
All right, that sounds
great. Yeah, it's pretty great. So I'm actually really excited to check it out. But it looks like an actual like pretty decent to good 2D side scroller, but like in the form of like of a Zelda CDI game. So keep your eye on that one, people. But let's move on to some other news this week, Gables. Kind of a lighter news week here. But some cool announcements happened here. EA announced that there's a new studio, Cliffhanger. They are making a single player Black Panther game. We've known about this for a while. Jeff Grubb leaked this a year or two ago that EA signed a 3-game deal with Marvel, with Disney, to make that cider is killing me here. To make 3 Marvel games. We know that the Dead Space team, is that Motive? It could be Motive. I can't remember now at this point. They're making the Iron Man game, the Dead Space remake, people. Which makes sense if you play Dead Space remake. And then this brand new studio is making a Black Panther game. The people running it are people like main like heads from Monolith Soft. That's wrong. That's different. Monolith, the Warner Brothers studio, that they're like people that made like Shadow of Mordor and stuff like that. So some good lineage there, and they got a bunch of other people there. But it's basically just like announced they're doing it, and hey, we're hiring. So I imagine this game is probably a decent amount of years away. Some other stuff here though. Respawn sounds like based off of they put out some job listings that they're working on another Star Wars game. So safe to say they're working on Star Wars Jedi 3. Gables. I mean, based off where the minor spoilers, where the last game ended, I'm going to assume there's a third game. So, and how well it sold. And then next up, Twisted Metal, the TV show, is getting a trailer on July 27th. Gables, I know you're incredibly excited for the show. How excited are you for the trailer?
I'll tell you how excited I am for this. I think I'd much rather just nail my tongue to my desk right now. That's how excited I am for No.
Well, that means he's excited for this. Gables, you got to get ready because we're going to do weekly reactions to the to every episode. So get prepared. I don't even know when the show's coming out. I know it's soon. I just don't care, I guess. But I'm going to at least watch the trailer.
All I've done is watch that initial reveal trailer and stuff. And basically, it's just Sweet Tooth and that other dude talking about fucking Cisco and the thong song. And I'm like, what the fuck
is this?
Why is
Captain America and Samoa Joe in a mask fighting? It's very weird.
Oh, no.
Weird times.
Oh, it's so accurate, too.
Yeah. Why is Will Arnett speaking over Samoa Joe? Doesn't make any fucking sense. Anyways. Need for Speed Most Wanted is getting a remake. And Gables, you might be asking, well, which one, Tyler? Yeah. I don't know. there's a remake coming for Need for Speed Most Wanted. If you don't remember, there was two of them. There was awesome one that was that came out. It was like a 360 launch game, and it also came on Xbox, the original Xbox. It was like, because it came out like that same year as the 360 came out.
There's that one.
There's a remake. There's a new one. No, it's not a remake. It's a brand different one in 2012.
Yeah.
And I believe it's the 2012 version because Simone Bailey, I believe, is the voice actress's name, who posted, I don't know if she, like, it was a tweet she did or if it was, like, she had a comment she left. But she made a post about there's a remake. The Most Wanted remake is coming in 2024. And then she like did a bunch of hashtags and stuff like that. And then later on deleted the tweet, or I don't know if it was on Instagram. But she posted it, she took it down. But she was a voice actress in the 2012 version.
Okay. So the open world Need for Speed.
Yeah. Unfortunately, because the 2005 version fucking kicked ass. And I would love if they brought that one back. But unfortunately, no, it's not that one. So it's, but also, I mean, I guess like the most, this one, I looked it up, it's like an 84 Metacritic. So it's a good game, I guess, but I don't know.
This is going to sound like a weird question, though, but did they ever do like a remaster of like Need for Speed Underground?
Gables, I don't know if you've been listening to this podcast for the last decade or so, but not a month goes by where I'm like, just bring me a fucking remake of this goddamn game. All I want is to be able to play this fucking game. You don't even have to give me. You don't even have to give me Little John and the East Side Boys. I don't need it. I like it if you put it in there. I don't need it, but just give me the fucking game in like 4K 60, and I'd be happy as fuck. Actually, I'll take 1080.
Just go up to Little John's house, you know. Just have like a little Trojan, like a big old Trojan horse, just full of gin and juice or something like that. This is my peace offering. We need
from
your
the
music
window to.
Game.
I'll play this game from the window to the wall. I don't care. Till the sweat drops down my balls. Give me some blacktop rolling. I'll be happy as a goddamn clam. What's with that saying? Why do people say happy as a clam? Are clams just abnormally happy?
It's a turn of phrase.
I had a
That's
couple
what
of
I think
somewhere gables.
anyway.
Everything comes from somewhere. This is something we gotta get into.
Happy.
Check back next week. I'll look into it.
Oh.
I'll do a whole podcast around it. Assassin's, I don't know what's happening at this point. Assassin's Creed Red, that's the one that's supposed to be based in Japan. It sounds like that's coming in 2024 based off some leaks, which makes sense because we haven't had a new Call of Jesus Christ, great fucking new Call of Duty. Hey, that's net. I have another Call of Duty thing next. We haven't had a new Assassin's Creed since 2020. We are getting Mirage
Yeah.
this year, but it's a smaller game. We've gotten DLC for what the fuck was it? Valhalla. Yeah.
Valhalla.
A bunch of DLC.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. This is the longest thing we've gone without a. I guess it'll be 2 years, but it's, you know, it's a big one to a small one, and then a big one. So.
It might as well just say 3 years because you had freaking like Valhalla in 2020, the DLC for that, which. Yeah, it was okay at best.
A lot of people liked it,
but
except for the last one, I guess, was really the finale of the DLC was pretty disappointing, I guess. So.
But yeah, but this more traditional one for Assassin's Creed Mirage, we're just hoping that it's just a return back to form to how the series was as fun to play, kind of like with the whole aspect of. We're talking about like Assassin's Creed 2 through like maybe Syndicate sort of
one,
level.
Don't.
Besides Unit.
Yeah, but
Unity.
No, but don't be disrespecting my boy. Number one, Assassin's Creed 1 is in there as well. The first four. We're not Assassin's Creed 3 can fuck off though. That game's just not good. It's a bad game. Fucking over here disrespecting my fucking boy Altair.
Oh my gosh, man! Assassin's Creed 3. I'll forever remember that game because of how hyped it was. Then I tried it. Then all of a sudden I encountered the glitches,
I didn't have any.
And then all of a sudden I came up with a new term, the name of Dart Wolf, because there was a fucking wolf that I ended up killing that ended up zooming across the damn thing, got stuck in the snow, and it was literally just like a dart in the damn ground.
Nice. Nice, that's good. I just remember the first 9 hours, you play as a different character, and then you find
yeah.
out it's a tutorial, and then you got the first 9 hours is a tutorial, and then you switch to Connor. And then it's another 5 hours tutorial.
What a fucking terrible idea.
There's a decent story in there. It's just, I don't know. Also,
well, yeah.
Boston, when there's only like 12 houses in the entire town, not very fun to run around. Fun fact for you guys. anyways. I don't know how that turned into Assassin's Creed 3.
Assassin's Creed.
Fucking, goddamn. They fixed it with Black Flag, though, which we're also getting a remake of, so what the fuck. Anyways, Call of Duty 2024, next year's Call of Duty, will take place during the Gulf War. Yeah,
makes
I mean,
sense.
I don't know how many.
I mean, they've done plenty
We've
of
done
like,
everything.
Various
We've
wars.
Done future.
They've done World War II. They've won friggin'. They've done World War II to death, honestly. I mean, they've friggin' done.
Modern day.
The whole aspect of
we
the modern
know.
Day and stuff, the future. Vietnam and stuff. So yeah, Gulf War. That's
yeah. I don't
fine.
Know if I don't know if we did Gulf. I don't know if we've done Gulf War yet. Was there some Gulf War missions in Black Ops 2? I don't remember.
I'm not sure.
I don't remember. I beat Black Ops 2 and I couldn't tell you anything about it. Besides, the guy from Walking Dead was in there.
Also, we get a missions against like just taking out Saddam Hussein. Yeah, that'd be nice.
Yeah, but we didn't do that until like the 2000s. So.
I'm just saying, you know, it's a video game. There's things that are going to be embellished. So, of course, there's
Gables,
probably
this
be
isn't incredibly accurate to historical elements, just like Assassin's Creed, okay? You're telling me Leonardo da Vinci did not create a flying machine for my assassin to fly around in?
Oh, my God, dude. Yeah,
video games
point.
Are stupid.
I know.
What are we doing this?
Know.
I don't know. Anyways, I'm out of shit to talk about here for news. I'm just gonna spend a couple minutes talking about. I know I said I wouldn't. I'm gonna spend. Just give me like 2 minutes here, Gables. I was talking about Final Fantasy 16.
Okay.
Something happened that I didn't know that was possible, Gables, in video games. You know me. I can cry a lot. I get incredibly hyped for a lot of situations. Sometimes a little too hyped. Sometimes a little too cryy. I cry a little too much sometimes. I'm a goddamn baby. All right? I'm a very emotional man. All right? Can't help it. But I've been extremely hyped in my life. I've cried a lot in my life. But I've never been so fucking hyped that I cried before until Final Fantasy 16, where I had tears coming out of my eyes because it was so fucking hype. I didn't know, like, I was so many chills. I was overwhelmed with emotions that I just had tears rolling down my eyes because it was so fucking cool what was happening on my screen. I'm not going to spoil it for anybody. There's a goddamn moment. There was a million goddamn moments. This game was just crazy. I thought Final Fantasy VII, I always said forever that Final Fantasy VII, you look in the dictionary for, you look up hype dictionary, picture of Final Fantasy VII remake. Just rip it out. New page. It's Final Fantasy 16. This goddamn game is fucking wild. I can't believe it. It's getting better every week. I know I keep saying this, but my God, they keep one-upping themselves. And just when you don't think they can one-up themselves a little bit more, they fucking do it. They find a way. They find a way. And it's blowing my mind. I'm like 45 hours in. I feel like I'm getting very close to the end, but it's very close in a big game like this. Probably still gonna like 10 to 15 hours into it to go. Because I'm doing everything. But yeah, this game fucking rules. Like I said last week, it is Tyler Bate, and they know every kink that I have, and they goddamn it, they are finding a way. There's a dog in the goddamn game, like he's your best friend. Fuck yeah, like it's my game. It's my fucking game. So anyways, that's all I've been playing. That's my little update there. Gables.
Hey, that's pretty cool though. I mean, I'm glad you're not only enjoying Final Fantasy 16 to the extent that you are, but it's very rare that you get so invested inside of an RPG. I mean, that's something that that's something more or less that I generally do when it comes to like major sort of like RPG stuff or whatever and stuff. It doesn't matter if it's like Persona or it's like Fire Emblem or it's Pokemon or something like that. But you getting so invested again inside of a Final Fantasy game is just so interesting to hear about and stuff, because you're the action guy. You're the guy that loves you love your platforms, love your action games. You love like various other types of like indie games and stuff, but yet, Final Fantasy 16 is that type of a game and stuff to not only are you playing through it and enjoying this game, but it's actually expanding your horizon more so in terms of like what you are willing to go forth and experience inside of a action based RPG like Final, like,
yeah,
you know.
It, I mean, it's crazy. Like, it's almost like if I wasn't like a shitty fan, like Nintendo fanboy back in the day, I probably would have really loved Final Fantasy growing up. But I grew up, like, I lived in the era where like people were mad. Nintendo fans were mad at Final Fantasy for going to PlayStation. So I just refused to play them.
Oh, yeah.
And then now I'm like, you know, I was like that until like the mid-2000s. And by that point, I kind of aged out of those kind of games. And now here I'm rolling back around.
Well, yeah, man. I mean, that hatred was real, too. I mean, when Nintendo and Squaresoft back in the day couldn't come to terms in terms of like getting the next Final Fantasy on the N64 because of the whole cart-based media that Nintendo was still sticking with. That's what forced Squaresoft's hand to go to PlayStation to create the Final Fantasy VII and then Final Fantasy VIII and IX and Tactics as well on that system. And that's what made that system so much... That's basically where a lot of people tried their first RPGs was with Final Fantasy.
Ultimately, a great call for them, because
now we're in a time, in a crazy ass time, to where you can fucking get the original Final Fantasy 7, 8, 9, and then like 10 on a fucking cart for a Nintendo system. It is just hilarious how it comes in.
Is every
circle.
Final Fantasy game except for 11, 14, and obviously 15? Well, no, 15, I guess you can get that weird version on there. But what Final Fantasy game isn't on the Nintendo Switch at this point?
Okay, so to figure out what Final Fantasy game isn't on Switch, we're going to go
11 and 14, obviously.
The mainline stuff. Obviously, 1 through 6 is because of the pixel remaster.
We know
7, 8,
9
are. 7, 8, 9, and 10, 10, 2, those
is
ones
13
are
on there?
Through digital. No.
So 13.
No. 12.
Yeah,
is.
12 is.
Okay, so the
15
games
has that.
The Final Fantasy games that are not on the Nintendo system, you have 11, which is an MMO. We don't have. 13? Let's see, Nintendo doesn't have 13 because of the whole rigmarole with that. 14, obviously, because that one is an MMO and stuff on the other systems and stuff as well. But 15, no. And then 16,
Well,
no.
15 has that weird, like, shivy mobile mode they made, the mobile version they made, that you could play on there, and it's like a
Well, technically,
Full,
yeah.
yeah, the full-on wine, but I mean, that's not really much of a loss, so.
Well, no, that's not really too much of a loss with that. But at the same point, the main Final Fantasy games you can experience on Nintendo systems are pretty much like the original all the way through like 10-2 and then skip 11 and yeah,
Yeah, you could
12.
basically, yeah, it's pretty crazy now. Yeah, I don't really thought about it like that.
So you get pretty much like the near full experience of Final Fantasy on the Switch. You still get fantastic stories and everything else going through without having to go on to another system if you don't want to. But needless to say, though, Final Fantasy 16 is really hitting its stride, not just like since its launch and
Oh,
stuff,
God.
but yet millions of millions of gamers, including yourself, Tyler, are very much enjoying this game to its
Yeah.
fullest.
Yeah. I think that's it's the fastest
But
selling Final Fantasy game ever, so.
yeah. But since you've already finished up with what you've been playing and stuff, I have been playing a little bit of things here and there. It's not like I've stuck to like one game in particular. I ended up finishing up what I wanted to do with AEW Fight
Oh.
Forever, which was I didn't go through and get the Platinum Trophy, that
Quitter.
stuff. I'm gonna be waiting on updates and like other types of stuff that they come and bring to this game, including potentially maybe reworking the pin system to that game. Because quite honestly, that's super frustrating when you're going through Road to the Elite on like Elite mode, and you end up like just losing a match based upon how terrible certain aspects of that pin system is. But no, throughout my experience with AEW Fight Forever, I really do love the gameplay. I love the aspect of how they did the characters. I love the aspect of like creating my created character, doing all these different types of stuff, like in terms of like creating my arenas, creating my characters and stuff, like oh boy, yeah, just simulating a whole bunch of the different match types and stuff. I'm disappointed they didn't have any type of cage matches at all, just
Yeah.
selectable.
Yeah.
But I'm really hoping that comes in sort of like an update of some form. But I do know that their match type, like the Stadium Stampede stuff, is going to be coming out
Cannot
fairly
wait for that.
soon. Yeah, I want to try that out because we all know it's a Fortnite-like sort of thing, but at the same time, it's an AEW wrestling theme type of thing, so it's gonna be crazy as shit. But the overall time I had with AEW Fight Forever, that was a positive one. I mean, Road to the Elite, you know, even though it quintessentially was basically sort of like a 2.5, maybe 3 hour like single player mode to where you did get like various matches and stuff, and there were various plot points and some like branching paths you could have
Yeah.
done. The branching paths are entirely different than what you would have done in like No Mercy, for instance, because from there you would have had to choose between the different titles from there and then go on the branching parts from that. Whereas in AEW Fight Forever, these branching paths feel more artificial because it's just one major storyline and then it branches whether you win or lose certain aspects of it. So it's like if you start off with that Casino Battle Royale match and you win that Casino Battle Royale match, which I did once through the start of that campaign, you can initially go win the AEW title, but you go all the way to like the end of this journey. Let's say you go like 28 and 0 inside the major like Road to the Elites. You will not defend your AEW championship
Huh?
once. Well, here's the thing. For any one of those championships you earn inside that Road to the Elite, and I've played through this thing about 3 times now, you can win the titles, but it does not give you options to defend the titles in Road to the
Huh.
Elite, which does not make any fucking sense
Yeah.
whatsoever. Because you'll literally go, it's like, oh man, it's like if you say, for example, you want to get the tag team titles because you lost the Casino Battle Royale, and then all of a sudden, unlikely partnership you have with some other random wrestler that they choose. If you don't win those matches to go for that tag team championship, it's gone for you for the rest of that playthrough. I don't like that, dude. It's like if you're gonna set through like with a single player and then you have aspects of where you're gonna challenge for titles, have it be for the specific titles. Don't have it be for like just one lump sum and then all of a sudden you can't go back and try to win this type of things through trial and error
Yeah.
and all this other
Well,
stuff.
like even like even if you win the tag team titles and like you like in the thing, no matter what, in the first part, you win the tag team titles and then you turn on your partner And then it just never goes anywhere from there.
Yeah.
So you never, like, fight the guy later. You never defend the titles. You never, like, there's no, like...
No.
Oh, you know, there's no stripping or nothing.
As a matter of fact, not only does that never come back up, but you also do, like, later on in that story, I mean, you get the team with another person, like Darby Allin or something like that, if you're playing as a face, and both of you are holding the tag team championship. It doesn't make any fucking sense with that aspect.
That's weird.
But yeah, that's some of the gripes I really have for Road to the Elite. It was quick. It didn't feel as fleshed out. I mean, there were certain aspects of like the character unlocking things that, you know, that was fun stuff. The only character I have left to unlock is like Brody Lee.
Oh, okay.
Brody Lee's the last one I haven't unlocked. I've unlocked Owen Hart. Nice. I went through that rigmarole. I wanted to do that before moving on from the game and giving it a break for the time being. But yes, I went through the process of playing through 100 singles player matches, like an exhibition. And I basically did that while trying to accomplish certain other trophies and aspects of it. But I think I have like five major trophies left. And three of them are for Road to the Elite. Quintessentially, like, get all the t-shirts, do 30 intense trainings in one playthrough, and then finish the thing with an A-plus thing on Road to the Elite. The A-plus thing is going to be interchangeable between whatever the hell I'm going to be doing. I tried doing a run with Kenny Omega. It was bullshit trying to play the Road to the Elite, because that difficulty spike, even if you make, like, one mistake or something like that, or a couple mistakes, if your momentum is not high enough, they're gonna toss you out of that fucking ring just like no business. Okay.
So you gotta win the casino battle royale and then we just win everything.
Well, that's the thing. You gotta win the casino royale in order to challenge for the AEW World Heavyweight Championship like a match or two later.
Yeah. But I mean, to get the A+ though, do you have to win that?
Not only do you have to do that, you have to have at least 125,000 in terms of like that, you know how the create a character stuff, it has its own set like points and stuff you use to try to invest in stats and stuff like that. You need about 125,000 in that when you finish.
Jesus.
And
okay.
I've tried doing that, Tyler. I had the difficulty set to the easiest possible because I had already did a playthrough on normal. I tried doing it on easy. I got like at least 100,000 in that one playthrough. And the only way you're going to go forth and do more is if you do a harder difficulty, go through like the mini games and stuff, like say with the Young Bucks and stuff like that. And on top of that, somehow not get injured and then somehow go through and get the Rampage matches on top of doing your training, intense trainings in on top of trying to do regular matches and stuff. It feels so fucking clustered with certain aspects, like they're trying to fit all this obscure stuff. I mean, granted, a lot of it's optional, right? You don't have to do that stuff. But if you truly want to do what the game wants you to do to unlock a certain thing, where if you want to get A+ rank for this entire freaking mode, you have to do a combination of all of these different things while get fucking lucky. That's why it has an achievement of play through the damn Road to the Elite 10 times, because by that point, you're going to know that, hey, this character is shit while I'm trying to play through this thing like this. Or, hey, I've created a character. I'm going to go through this way and do this way. And it's like, it just becomes a trial and error period of take the best character in the game, have it on maybe the easiest difficulty, and see how the hell I'm going to get all these things for an A+. But, throughout my time and stuff, I still firmly believe this is like a game I would give like a 7 out of 10.
Yeah.
It's a great base for a wrestling game. There were definitely much more terrible wrestling games I've had the disdained like a privilege of playing. I'm looking at you, WCW Nitro, and I'm definitely looking at you, WCW Thunder.
ECW Revolution.
Oh, yeah. Well, thank God I never had a chance to play that.
Not great. But Legends of Wrestling.
Legends of Wrestling. The only time I ever played Legends of Wrestling, I rented that thing, and I purposely only played as one character because it made the most sense of playing it, and that was Rob Van Dam, because you can use the fucking chair to do a fucking van, like a
Van Daminator.
Van Daminator. Yeah, exactly the point. But Yeah, throughout the wrestling games I've tried to play, and they were terrible, like WCW, Nitro, WCW, NWO, Thunder, freaking Legends of Wrestling 2, and those. Oh God, I even tried fucking Backstage Assault. Now that I'm,
Oh.
dude, I rented Backstage Assault. That
Oh.
thing was fucking awful. But having tried those games back from a bygone era and then playing through AEW Fight Forever, that game is like a fucking Game of the Year contender in comparison to the trash
Yeah.
wrestling games I've had a chance to play.
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, I have like a lot of problems with AEW Fight Forever, but it's still like, I think it's still a really good game. I really like that game. Like, the only reason I haven't been playing it more is just because of Final Fantasy, but like, I love that game actually. I really like, as far as a wrestling game goes, it's the most fun. I have not enjoyed a wrestling game since the WWE Day of Reckoning games on GameCube.
Dude, I have not enjoyed a wrestling game to this extent since I did a playthrough of WWE 2K14 back around the late PS3 era.
Yeah, so
Because
2013 then.
no, it was 2K14. I
But yeah,
did
but it
play
comes
two.
out in 2013.
Yes, you're correct. You're correct. That's the one I
Oh, Jesus
platinumed.
Christ.
But other than that, though, I went back to a couple of games that I've had a chance. I've played through like a couple of years before and stuff, and I really love the gameplay aspect of it because I was just in a mood to play this. I was in the mood to play Dodgeball Academia
Great game.
because the damn game was it's you could download it on like the PlayStation like downloadable stuff, for your subscription. So I did that. I played a couple hours of it. God damn, that game is so fucking good.
Game.
It's so good. The gameplay, the aspects of it really reminds me of the old school Pokemon games from back then. I mean, that's what kind of like we kind of felt too
Yeah.
back when the game first released.
It's like Dodgeball slash Pokemon slash fucking anime.
That's just the thing, man. It's like it's fun. The gameplay's fun. The story is actually pretty like funny in certain parts and stuff. The characters are memorable. And on top of that, it's like you have a fucking good time because you're just playing a fucking game of dodgeball and
Yeah.
you're just doing a whole bunch of different things. And now here I am. I am someone who already unlocked all the achievements on the
Yeah, we both
Xbox. Like,
100% of that game.
yeah, both of us 100% completed that game. And here I am. I still want to play more of that game like a couple of years later. But yeah, I played a couple hours of that, had certain portions of fun. I did beat that one bully and stuff like that unlocks that achievement and stuff. I think it was
Oh yeah.
Boris.
Yeah.
Yeah, Boris. Yeah, that's the thing about it. It's like he actually is kind of easy to beat in terms of like the first time you actually had a chance to face him and stuff. If you do a combination of avoiding his ball strikes and stuff like that, and then catching some of the slower ones to build up a little bit of your meter.
Yeah, it's really more of an endurance run than anything.
It's an endurance run.
Yeah.
Absolutely, it is. But other than that, I did initially download demos for Pikmin 4. Still want to play that at least before the game comes out. There are other games that I have downloaded in terms of like just want to try out. I've actually downloaded a little bit of just like a Shredder's Revenge on PS5 as well
Oh yeah, the
as.
DLC's out now.
Oh yeah, the DLC's out. I did not know that.
Yep.
Well, that's even more reason for me to go and play that game.
Is it on PS5, the PS Plus thing?
I don't think so.
Oh,
I'll
okay.
have to double check, but I
Okay.
don't think so because it's a new release. But
Well,
other
no,
than
I mean
that,
the
though,
main
it's
game
like,
though. Is it on PS Plus though?
yes,
Oh, okay.
yes.
Well, fuck, I'll
You
probably
can
just.
actually download it.
All right, I just download it and buy the DLC probably.
Well, yeah, that sounds like a good deal to me, man. It's like, but one last thing to say from one of the games I've been playing and stuff like that. I've been also kind of itching to try out a couple of regular Xbox games, right? I haven't done anything like major yet and stuff, but since I got the Series X, I wanted to see the backlog of the initial games that are backwards compatible for it. So throughout this week, I went through the entirety of the original Xbox release things in the United States, which is like around 290 something games, I want to say. And honestly, there's a few games that stick out besides the obvious Halo, Forza, stuff like that, But yeah, I'm just curious in checking out some of the games that are released on the marketplace right now and see if I can just get a couple of them for dirt cheap and just try them out. But it's just something that I'm interested in because nostalgia-wise, I grew up playing, as a teenager, the GameCube and the PS2, the Xbox in its initial extent, never had a chance to experience until I got a 360 back around 2008. And then I only played one, and that was like Halo 1 for the longest of times. But other than that, though, that's pretty much all I've been playing.
All right. Well, guys, I think we're going to get out of here. It's a shorter episode this week, so shortest one we've done in a long time, but hey, that's all right. But yeah, thank you guys so much for watching, listening, whatever you're doing. If you like all that, please look down in the descriptions down below. You see links to all of our socials, wherever we're at for our podcast, stuff like that. But hey, if you're, you know, you just stop and be on any like Facebook, Twitter, Apple, Spotify, anywhere podcasts are on, YouTube, you know, just search Drunk-Nerds, Drunk Nerds podcast, whatever, and you'll find us. Like, follow, subscribe, hit the bell, 5-star reviews, leave comments, share, tell your friends, all that. The more you guys do that, the more helps us out. We are trying to get to 100 subscribers, and we are at 94, so we're getting really close. So if you can help us get over that line, that'd be great.
Hey, thank you guys.
Yeah, so we had a nice little boost the last couple months, so it'd be nice if we continue to get a little bit more. So yeah, but thank you guys so much for listening. I was your host, I was Tyler.
And I have been Colonel Gables. So until next time, everyone, I hope you guys have yourselves a good week ahead. I hope you play some fun games, take your mind off of this crazy world. But at the same time, thank you for listening to another fun-filled episode of the Drunk-Nerds podcast.
Hey, Gables.
Yeah.
What does Iron Sheik always say?
Fuck Hulk Hogan.
Fuck Hulk Hogan.
Gonna break his back and make him humble.
Yes. Bye, guys.
See ya.